My name's Norm Nabhan. I'm with Morgan Stanley's Greystone Investment Consulting Division. We're the institutional consulting division of Morgan Stanley and work largely with nonprofits and foundations. You still? Okay. All right. Lucille's giving me the high sign. I'd like to welcome you to this session. And this track is called the Middle Zone. And we're going to talk about donor advised funds and some of the other structures that can be used in conjunction with private and public foundations. And then also talk about cybersecurity, which is a huge issue today. And I'd like to introduce our first speakers. Andrew Schultz is of counsel at the law firm of Adler and Colvin and specializes in representing nonprofits, where he represents clients that are public charities, private foundations, and individual and corporate donors. Prior to joining Adler and Colvin, Andrew was general counsel for the New Venture Fund. He provided guidance to the organization and fiscally sponsored projects in a range of corporate governance, tax, and advocacy issues. He also served as general counsel for Arabella Advisors, executive vice president at Foundation Source, vice president of legal and government relations at the Council on Foundations also. He received his undergraduate degree from the College of Worcester and his law degree from George Washington University Law School. Also with us is Nora Jones. She's a co-founder of C3 Legal, a boutique firm focused on the needs of 501c3 and other tax-exempt organizations. Her practice focuses primarily on representing public charities and private foundations. She also advises family offices and founders in the creation and operation of new philanthropic vehicles. She has a particular passion for organizations focused on economic justice and community safety. She graduated from Loyola University School of Law, where she served as editor-in-chief in the Law Review. She lives in Chicago with her family, but noted that she still remains a Packers fan. So that's great. My partner, Vicki Smith, who's sitting in the front row, grew up in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, and we've been talking about estate planning. She inherited four season tickets to the Packers, which made her a very important person in that community. So anyway, thank you.
Thank you.
Please.
I will say my sister, when both of my kids were born, put my children on the waiting list for season tickets. My kids are now 10 and almost 12, and they're almost under the 100,000 mark on the waiting list. So we think that perhaps by the time they have their own kids, they might be eligible to actually purchase them. In any event, thank you very much for the introduction. Thank you all for choosing this session. I know our competition looked pretty good, so we're really grateful that you're here. Andrew and I are looking forward to today's presentation. We are cautiously optimistic that despite the fact we've got a very ambitious agenda in not a lot of time, that we'll be able to reserve some time at the end for questions, comments, insights from those of you in the room who also have experience working with these and probably myriad other alternatives or variations that you can think of. So just to kind of orient ourselves, the topic of the session indicates that we're going to be talking about alternatives to the private foundation. And when we say that, what we're really talking about is private non-operating foundations. As probably everybody in the room knows, private non-operating foundations are the default status for all 501c3 organizations. Said another way, if you are a 501c3 organization, you are automatically a private non-operating foundation unless and until you can demonstrate to the IRS that you are not and that you should be in some other status. One thing that we want to be careful about, though, and this is something that we talked about a few times as we were planning for today, is we don't want to give the impression that it should be a goal in and of itself to get out of private non-operating foundation status. There is really nothing wrong with that status. We each work with many, many, many charitable organizations that for their entire existence are going to be private non-operating foundations. That's the status that fits for them. It's what works for them. It's what makes sense. And it's a very, you know, I'd say it's a perfectly fine status, but that probably undersells it. It's a good status. It's a very good status. It's a great status for many really successful, thriving 501c3 organizations.